That's willing to share his knowledge of the Bible and to work with us as well. I want to talk with you this morning about something that fits in very well with our study on class in Acts chapter 2 this morning. But we'll not be talking so much about the giving of the Holy Spirit and the baptismal measure as we will be talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing sometimes how God intends for something to be a blessing for us, and when it's misused, it becomes a curse. The whole subject of the Holy Spirit is a controversial subject. As we noted in class this morning, there are those who believe that the Holy Spirit was given to all the thousands on the day of Pentecost, and that is not true. But because of the confusion that brings, many people today seem to be able to claim the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They claim to talk in tongues and claim to work miracles, when in fact that is not true. The baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit has been finished, and there are no longer those spiritual gifts that men have been fighting over for so many years. At the same time, we have in the Bible the fact taught in what the Bible calls the indwelling of the Holy Spirit among all Christians. And that too has become a subject of misunderstanding, because there are those who will try to say that because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they still receive inspired messages today. And that cannot be true. The Bible is completely full in Revelation. There will not be any of the revelations of truth revealed to us. Jude verse 3 says that we are to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. There will be no more scripture given. There will be no more spiritual gifts exercised. We're not in the age of miracles. That has been all finished, and God has finished that work in His own way, in His own time. But there's still another blessing that God has in store for us, and it's a very real blessing that we need to recognize, and the Bible calls it the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're just looking this morning at the idea of the Holy Spirit, but in particular what is called the indwelling. And as we look at this, we'll be noting the biblical language about this. And I'd emphasize that this is something God has given us as a great blessing. We need to understand it. We're not going to have more than God intends for us to have. We're not going to have less than God intends for us to have. But on the other hand, God has intended for us a blessing in the Holy Spirit. And as we recognize that and take advantage of that, it gives us hope, it gives us comfort, it gives us spiritual strength. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" It is not a matter of discussion whether or not we have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we do. But we need to understand how the Bible describes that so that we don't misunderstand that any more than we misunderstand the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible affirms that the Holy Spirit dwells in the Christians. In Romans chapter 8, for example, beginning with verse 9 and also verse 11, "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So there are future blessings in the sense of the resurrection with regard to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and it's not something that's just true now. But as we look at this, we need to be comforted and encouraged by what the Bible is saying and how God is dwelling, allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Again, in chapter 6, verse 19 of the Corinthian letter, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, whom you have of God, and you are not your own?" So there are responsibilities that grow out of this understanding. I don't own myself. I belong to God. Furthermore, the body that you see before you is called the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And in some sense that the Bible will describe, that is true, so that we ought to recognize that we use the body as the temple of the Holy Spirit and not abuse it. We would truly have a responsibility for understanding what a tremendous thing it is to say that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you see some live in such an ungodly way, it is quite aware that people don't understand this. And they don't utilize the body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. So there's some things that we know that the Bible tells us, and there's some things from that, the consequences that flow from that, that we need to know and to understand. James chapter 5 and verse 4 adds this, "Do you not think that the scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously?" Now that's a study within itself, but the idea is that the Holy Spirit that dwells in us in some fashion is jealous in that we don't serve other gods. You find in the Old Testament many times the statement made that God is a jealous God and He does not wish us to worship idols. And the Ten Commandments even incorporates the idea of the one and true, the only living God, and we're not to worship any other gods or have respect for those. So these are just a number of the scriptures that the Bible talks about with regard to that. And these verses say that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, but does not tell us how the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And these are not proof texts then for a personal indwelling Spirit. I want to be very cautious here and recognize that there's a danger of going beyond what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that there's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and I wouldn't argue with that at all. But when people sometimes push that to a position the Bible does not claim, then they believe they have some kind of miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit going on in their lives. I've heard people say, for example, that the Holy Spirit led me to a hospital. The Holy Spirit led me to a certain elevator, to a certain floor, to a certain room, so that I could talk with somebody that God sent me to talk to. Well, that's subjective reasoning, not the fulfillment of this passage and not these passages that we're talking about this morning. So while there is confusion, I still would like for us who are Christians to be able to appreciate what the Bible is saying, because it tells us how much God thinks of us. It tells us how God is planning for our future. It tells us how we may be encouraged and lifted up and built up in the Holy Spirit by understanding what it means to have the indwelling. I'm going to emphasize now in the following forms the idea that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is regarding fellowship with God. And we'll talk about the deity of God in that sense. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, if you'll have your Bibles and turn to those places, we'll be able to see what the Bible says about this. In Romans 8 and verse 9, Paul said, "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And so it's essential then that we have the Spirit of Christ to understand that the Holy Spirit dwells in the Christian. But at the same time, we recognize from 1 John chapter 2, the Bible tells us that the Father dwells in us. Now, if we're going to take a position that there's a literal dwelling, then God is going to dwell in us, that Jesus Christ is going to dwell in us, and the Holy Spirit is going to dwell in us, in the sense of somewhat miraculous measure. I want to hasten and say the Bible does not teach that. But it does teach an indwelling. And so we're not talking about a contradiction of terms. We're talking about understanding what the Bible is saying. And we'll finish this up tonight. We won't have time to do all that this morning. In 1 John chapter 4, the beginning of verse 12, the record says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us." Now that's the same language that you find about the Holy Spirit. God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father sent the Son as the Savior into the world. Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Pardon me. And we have known and believed the love of God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Now those are precious words, but they can be made more than what people should. As they extrapolate from that into some areas of mysticism and emotionalism. In California, for example, a number of years ago, I read about a school that was teaching the children that each of them had a God living in them. And this can be taken to such an extreme to where people in fact would say that God is in them. And this is not what the Bible is saying, and we want to clarify that as we go through the lesson tonight, but recognize that it's talking about fellowship. That the Christian can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the Christian can have fellowship with the Father, and the Christian can have fellowship with the Son. Back in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 17, the Apostle Paul said that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that's a wonderful statement. That is something that we ought to really appreciate and understand, that God has great plans for us. When we hear people say that they believe in evolution and that we evolved from apes and amoeba and things of that nature, they're not taking into consideration the fact of creation and the fact that God said he created us in his image. And with that spiritual image of God, we're able to achieve a relationship in the spirit that animals cannot have because they don't have that same spirit of God. So as you're looking at the Bible, we're talking about a very special relationship that I can have with God. I can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God that I read about in Genesis 1. The Spirit moved on the face of the deep. I can have a relationship with God the Father, the Creator, who brought all this world into being. And God said, let there be light. I can have a relationship, a possession of fellowship with Jesus Christ, who is the Word, who brought all that, those things into being. Now from that relationship, there also grows responsibilities and extensions from that. In Galatians chapter 5, we read about the fruit of the Spirit and how that because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us by faith, then that we are to have the works of the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. That is, if it's true, the Holy Spirit dwells in me in some way, if it's true that God dwells in me in some way, if it's true that Jesus dwells in me in some way, there will be the proper effort of my life to prove that that's so. You'll be able to see Christ living in me. You'll be able to see a life in harmony with the teachings of the Word of God. You'll be able to see that that fellowship with God is something that causes the certain kind of moral living that God expects us to have. Then we noticed again in 1 John 4:12-16 about God abiding in us and that we abide in Him. The idea of living with God is the idea of serving God and following His will. So if I understand and appreciate that the deity has a relationship with me, that means that I have a certain kind of lifestyle that I ought to live to show that that's true and that I would have a life that is equal with that. And then Jesus said in John chapter 6, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, then I will abide in you. And that's another sermon within itself about that statement. But again, the Bible is saying very clearly that God will dwell with us in some fashion that we didn't understand. And this is expressing spiritual fellowship, not physical location. God, in all his being, will not dwell in me. Because I'm human, because I'm physical. But the Spirit of God can dwell with me as well as the others, and this is what we'd like to examine this morning and understand what is being said. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, the Jewish leaders realized that Peter and John had been with Jesus because they could see his influence on their lives. Now this is what I'm talking about. And the sense that if the Holy Spirit is going to dwell in us, there's a corresponding relationship that I live the way the Holy Spirit wants me to live. And we see that with regard to Peter and John. When people looked at them, they could see that they had been with Jesus. Well, can people look at your life and tell you today that you've been with Jesus? Can people look at us today and say they're following the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's living and abiding with them, because that life should be able to tell them that soul. In 1 Corinthians 5, where the scandal occurred in the church at Corinth, Paul's spirit would be with the Corinthians if they acted upon the influence of his letter and withdrew from that unholy brother. So when you start talking about this, it is something, this fellowship is something that can be extended by God and withdrawn by God. Therefore, we need to be very careful how we live. The ungodly brother in 1 Corinthians 5 no longer had the Spirit dwelling in him until he repented of those things that he had done that were sinful. So we're talking about then the life that follows that. I want to use this illustration in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. As we read the Word of God, we're influenced by the Holy Spirit. And now we're getting down to understanding what we're talking about when we talk about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let me be sure I've got the right scripture. Chapter 1 and verse 21. Go back to verse 20. Peter said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For a prophecy that never came by the will of man, but by the men of God, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So here is the influence of the Holy Spirit upon those prophets of the Old Testament. And you can see that influence because they were moved by the Holy Spirit and were able to prophesy. In John 14 and verse 23, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit extensively. John 14, 15 and 16. He talked about the fact that he was given promises to the apostles. And the apostles were to receive the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, after Jesus left. He told them in John 14 that he had to leave. You can imagine the forlorn feeling that the apostles would have had, knowing that they were going to be there on earth by themselves and Jesus would be gone. And he said that they were not to be dismayed, because he was going to send them another Comforter. That is, a Comforter like him. And he would guide them into all the truth. He would bring to their mind the things that he'd taught. So he was giving them encouragement about the Holy Spirit. Now then, if we abide in the Word of God, then we're maintaining our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's saying as he taught the apostles about that. But here's how deity comes to dwell with the Christian. Ephesians chapter 3 that we read a moment ago said Christ dwells in a heart through faith. Galatians chapter 3 talks about the Holy Spirit by the hearing of faith. Let's go back and notice that, because this is telling us something about how God processes this and causes it to take place. The Galatians were leaving Christ and going back to the law of Moses. He wanted to warn them about the danger of what that would do. So he said, beginning in verse 2, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the working of the law or by the hearing of faith? You have a mixture here, of course, of the miraculous with the apostles and the fact that they were able to work the miracles by the Holy Spirit. And then the Christians who came along who were of the Spirit but not miraculous in that. Now, a key passage to really understand some of these things is Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I can know nothing about the Holy Spirit except what the Bible has said. So many times you'll hear people say, well, I just feel so and so. I've heard people say, well, I'd rather have the feeling that I've got about the Holy Spirit than a stack of Bibles. When we make those kinds of statements, what we're doing is misunderstanding how the Word and the Spirit work together. And if we misunderstand that, we're going to misunderstand how the Spirit dwells in us. And so we have to look at these things in this understanding. Now, here are two passages that I want to use that will sort of put these things in perspective. In Ephesians 5, verses 18 and 19, Paul said, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, if you'll let the Bible define itself or describe itself, you'll find many times that one passage of Scripture that was laid down by another passage of Scripture will explain both of them. So I want to do that with this passage by looking at Colossians 3, verse 16. In the same passage with regard to music in the church, Paul said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, I want to emphasize two phrases that are there. First of all, in Ephesians 5, Paul said to be filled with the Spirit. Well, how are we filled with the Spirit? He said, "Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly." Now, we're getting down to the understanding of it. When you have the Bible, you have the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." All the words of Scripture have been given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, then you're letting the influence of the Holy Spirit live in your life. I don't for one moment believe that the Holy Spirit dwells personally and directly in my body. But that's not saying that the Holy Spirit is not doing what the Bible said He would do. That is, that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Sometimes people ask me, "Well, do you believe that you've been guided by the Holy Spirit?" Yes, I do. I don't make any bones about it. I believe I've been guided by the Holy Spirit. Well, what do you mean? Well, for example, I came to the New Testament as a child, and I began reading the Bible and hearing people preach the Bible, and I recognized that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Then I read a passage like Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Well, I did that. Why did I do that? Because the Spirit led me through the Word. See, I understand that the Word of God is Spirit-filled. When somebody says, "Well, I'd rather have the feeling that I have in my chest than a stack of Bibles," they're misunderstanding their own personal feelings for the Holy Spirit. And it's not the same thing. And so the Holy Spirit does lead and guide. Then when you start looking for a mate, you look for a wife or a husband. I'm led by the Holy Spirit in that search, as everybody else is, because you look at what the Bible wants a godly woman to be and a wife to be and a godly husband to be. And you begin to look for that kind of person. And you're being guided by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is dwelling in you when you allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. So all through my life, from the time that I began to read the Bible, I will say I've been led by the Holy Spirit. Not in a mysterious, mystical sort of way, but simply that the Holy Spirit abides in the Word. And as I allow the words of Christ, as I said, "Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly." As I allow the words of Christ to dwell in me richly, that's the Holy Spirit leading and guiding me and dwelling in me. And it's a marvelous thing to understand that this is not something that is just given to a few. This is for every child of God. Every child of God has this. And we're led by the Spirit. And so to the degree that you will allow the Bible to lead you and guide you, you're being led by the Spirit. But now, we can also resist the Spirit. The Bible warns about resisting the Spirit. And so I come along and I'm reading the Scriptures again, and I come back to Acts 2:38. And I understand that this is the occasion where the church began. And I understand this is the occasion when the Holy Spirit poured out the baptismal measure upon the apostles. And they, for the first time in all the world, preached the gospel of Christ. And they were asking in verse 37, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" Well, that's my question. What am I going to do? Now, I can take the creed books of the world and I can follow them, or I can let the Spirit dwell in me and do what the Spirit says. What does the Spirit say? Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, that's being led by the Spirit. But you see, if I decide I'm not going to do that, I'm resisting the Spirit. I'm not allowing the Spirit to dwell in me. I'm not allowing the words of Christ to dwell richly in me. I'm not doing what God would have me to do. And so if you want to be filled with the Spirit, as Ephesians 5 talks about, then let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. And as the words of the Lord shape your thinking, and as the words of the Lord shape your morals, and as the words of the Lord shape your actions, you're letting the Spirit dwell in you and abide in you and guide you. And the end result of that is that one of the promises made by Jesus is Jesus was raised by the Spirit, we also will be raised by the Spirit at the last day. So it's wonderful to compliment that and understand it. So the Word is said to be, and I want to close with this particular chart, then come back tonight and finish up on some of the important things to learn about this. The Bible says that the Word is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here's how this works with regard to indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Word, but He uses the Word. Just like a woodsman uses an axe. You say, here's a man who went into the woods and he used an axe and he chopped down the tree. Now he doesn't have to say, I chopped down the tree with an axe. All he has to say is, I chopped down a tree. Well, you know he didn't do that with his hands. He had to have an instrument. He had to have a tool of some kind. And so that's the same thing when we talk about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. The idea is that the Holy Spirit uses His Word to accomplish His purposes. Just like the woodsman uses the axe to do what he wants to do, God uses the Spirit to accomplish His purposes. So when somebody says, well, I just rather have this feeling that I've got than a stack of Bibles, he's dismissing the Word of God as unimportant. He's dismissing the Word of God without realizing what makes the Word of God so valuable is the Spirit-filled Word itself. And for someone to say that I'd rather have a feeling over here than the Bible is to dismiss the Holy Spirit Himself. Because you can't have the Holy Spirit apart from the Word. You can't utilize the Spirit from that. Now, let me illustrate that. 1 Peter chapter 1 says that we're born of the Spirit. Let's turn over there and look at this. I want to really emphasize the importance of this and compare it with another scripture. And we'll notice exactly what it's saying. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So this says we are born again by the Word. Now you go back to John chapter 3. Jesus there in John 3 is talking about Nicodemus. And he tells Nicodemus he must be born anew. Well, Nicodemus didn't understand that. He couldn't understand this spiritual message. So Jesus had to tell him again, that which is of the Spirit is Spirit, that which is of the flesh is flesh. And you have to be born of the water and the Spirit to inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that's the same thing as baptism, Romans chapter 6. So when you look at John chapter 3 and compare that with 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 22 and 23, you see clearly that the Holy Spirit uses the Word to convict the sinner and cause him to be baptized, just like the woodsman uses an axe. If you can see that a woodsman uses an axe to accomplish the purpose. So then, God uses the Holy Spirit and the Word to accomplish the purpose, that is the salvation of lost souls. And I won't leave it with you this morning, as we recognize there's more yet to be said on that. But this is to give us some kind of a idea of the wonderful thing that God has supplied us when we talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That we can recognize that it's a true gift. That we can recognize it's not something just for the apostles. This is something for every Christian. That you can indeed be led and guided by the Holy Spirit insofar as you let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. When the words of Christ are dwelling in you richly, that's the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and you're able to understand and to obey God because of that guiding power and influence of the Holy Spirit. I would not want to think about how we could go through life without the Bible. If we didn't have the Bible, you think, when the world is as bad as it is with the Bible, what would the world be like if we didn't have the Bible at all? The point of the matter is that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, whereby I can know right and wrong. I can choose to make up my mind to serve God because I let the Word of Christ dwell in me richly. And because the Word of Christ is dwelling in me richly, when I understand that God wants me to be baptized for the remission of sins, I'll do that. And when the Bible tells me that I'm supposed to live a godly life in order to be the fruit of the Spirit, that's what I'm going to do. There's so much to recognize that God has planned this as a great blessing in our lives. We need to appreciate it. It is indeed a great blessing. And as you discuss the Scriptures and you live the Scriptures, you recognize that all of these things are God's gift to let us finally end up in heaven, because we've been guided in that trail to heaven by the Holy Spirit. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, you need to ask yourself the question, have I been baptized for the remission of sins? That's what the Spirit said to do. That's what the Spirit wants us to accomplish. Then if I haven't done that, and I know that I should, I'm guilty of resisting the Spirit, because I'm doing other than what God told me to do through the Spirit. If you need to respond this morning to the gospel message in any way, we invite you forward as we stand together while we sing the song selected.